So we're beginning the book of Ezra. Uvishnat achat lechorosh melech paras. It's the first year of the reign of Koresh. The Beit HaMikdash, we learned, Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jehoiakim in the second year of his reign. And then he destroyed the Beit HaMikdash in the 18th year of his reign. Nebuchadnezzar is king 45 years, Evel Merodach 23 years, and then Nebuchadnezzar's second son, Belshazzar, is king for 3 years. In the third year of his reign, he takes out the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. He thinks the 70 years are up. He makes a massive party. And in the middle of the party, the hand shows up and writes on the wall, Menei Menei Tekelu Parsin. You've been counted, you've been weighed, and you've been found lacking. Your kingdom will be divided by the Persian Empire. And that night, the Persian Mede Empire renews their attack and is victorious against Babylon. And Darius the Mede, Dariavesh Amadi, takes over the Babylonian Empire. He is king for 1 year, and then he dies at war. During that year, we have the whole story of Daniel in the lion's den. Darius is killed at war, and his son-in-law, Koresh, the Persian, Koresh Aparsi, takes the throne. The 70 years have now been up since the Babylonian reign. The Babylonians didn't realize that there were overlaps. They figured Nebuchadnezzar 45. It's not true. Part of Nebuchadnezzar's 45 overlapped with Evel-Merodach's 23. Evel-Merodach's 23 also overlapped with Belshazzar's 3. Now the 70 years are really up. It's been 70 years since Babylon came to reign. And now in the first year of Koresh's reign, Lichlot Devar Adonai Mipi Yirmiyahu, now the 70 years that Jeremiah the prophet had said are up. Daniel was sitting over the books to figure out when the years were up, because he couldn't trust the numbers that the Babylonians quoted, because they didn't bother accounting for the overlap. Meaning the last year of Nebuchadnezzar was also the first year of Evel-Merodach, and the last year of Evel-Merodach was the first year of Belshazzar, and the last year of Belshazzar was also the first year of Darius. And that same year counted for Belshazzar and Darius, and the same year of Darius overlapped with Koresh. So how do you figure out the 70? Daniel sat and looked over the numbers, and now we figured it out. Hey, the 70 years are up. So in fact, here's what happens. Koresh is king. Koresh the Persian. The Persian Mede Empire has taken over the Babylonian Empire. Heir Adonai et ruach Koresh melech paras. Hashem inspired the spirit of Koresh. Vayaver kol mechol malchuto. And he gave out an announcement throughout his kingdom. Vegam b'michtav leimor. He also sent out a letter throughout his kingdom saying the following. Kol amar, so says Koresh melech paras, kol mamlechot haaretz natan li Adonai Eloi HaShemayim, Hashem, the God of heaven, gave me all the lands. Ve'ufakad alai livnot lo bayit, he commanded me to build the Beit HaMikdash, Birushalayim asher biyuda, in Jerusalem, in the country of Judea. And we know that in fact the Navi Yeshaya, Isaiah, had foretold in Yeshaya what they call the 44th chapter. Hashem says, so says Hashem to Koresh, his servant. Koresh is called the Mashiach, the Anointed One. Koresh was told already from the Navi Yeshaya that he was to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash. So Koresh sends out a decree. He says, Hashem gave me control over all the countries, all the kingdoms, and he commanded me to build his home in Jerusalem in Judea. This is the letter he sends out, a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Koresh, the non-Jewish Persian, the second king in the line of the Persian Mede Empire ever since they took over Babylon. This is what he sends out. Just a second. Mivachem mikol amo. Koresh tells them, who amongst you from God's nation, the Jews, who is prepared to go up to Jerusalem? Yehi Elohav imo, may your God be with you. V'yal Yerushalayim asher b'yuda. You are invited to ascend to Jerusalem in Judea. V'yiven, and build et Beit Adonai Elohei Yisrael, hu Elohim asher b'Yerushalayim. The house of Hashem, the God of Israel, he is the God in Jerusalem. So Koresh invites any Jew that wants to go up to the Beit HaMikdash. He says, may Hashem be with you, and go, rebuild. Yes, sir?
Don't we say that no good prophecy, this was the key of the prophecy?
Why not?
He goes back on his word.
Okay, that's also written there. V'chol ha'nishar. Anyone who's going to remain, if there are Jews that do not go up to the Beit HaMikdash, mikol ha'mekomot asher hu gar sham, wherever you live, yinasu anshei mekomo. So support the guy who goes. If someone's making aliyah, you guys, the rest of the family, support him. The rest of the community, if any of you are not going, support him. Yenaseu anshei mekomo, support him bechesef uvzahav uvirchush uvivema, give him silver and gold, give him wealth, give him cattle. Iman adeva levet elokim shel b'Yerushalayim. And also, you should give him donations so that you could build the Beit HaMikdash. So Koresh invites all the people to support the Jews. Even the pagans should give donations and support the Jews in making Aliyah. You see, you thought it was a new thing that Nefesh B'Nefesh accepts donations from non-Jews. You see, already in the days of Koresh, Koresh said, even the non-Jews should support the Jews making Aliyah. Okay, Koresh wasn't Jewish himself. But Koresh said, everyone should support the Jews who go and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Again, his focus was not the Aliyah. His focus was not rebuilding Israel. His focus was rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. An integral difference here. Yes?
Koresh was not Jewish?
No, this is Koresh who was not Jewish. So the leaders of the families in Judea and Benjamin and the Kohanim and the Levites, all the people who were inspired to go and build the Beit HaMikdash went with the leaders, the Kohanim, the Levim. And those who were around them, even the non-Jews, they supported them. They gave them silver and gold and wealth and cattle and gifts. Now, if we look at the story based on the backdrop of the stories of Daniel, where the people had gained a tremendous respect for the God of Israel after the stories of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and Daniel in the lion's den. So we can understand that the nations had a lot of respect and they supported the Jews who were going to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, Levad, Al Kol Hitnadev, aside from those who themselves said, we will go and help you rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. V'amelech Koresh otzi et kelei Beit Adonai. King Koresh took out the holy vessels of the Beit HaMikdash, asher hotzei Nebuchadnezzar mirushalayim ve'itanem bevet Elohav. Nebuchadnezzar had taken them out of Jerusalem and put them in his churches, so now he took them out and gave them to the Jews to bring back up to Jerusalem. Vayotziem Koresh melech paras al yad mitradat hagizbar. Koresh took them out, and his treasurer, whose name was Mitredat, he took charge of the vessels, ve'isperem neshesh batzar ha'nasi liyuda. And he gave them with an accounting to Shesh Batzar, who was the leader of Judea. And our sages say that Shesh Batzar is Daniel. That Daniel, one of his nicknames was Shesh Batzar, because he had six dire circumstances that he came out of. So they called him Shesh Batzar, six dire circumstances that he overcame. So now, the psukim go through the enumeration of how many vessels and how many knives. Here you see that they call the knife a chalaf, like they call it in Yiddish. And how many mizrakim, kiforei zahav, the different vessels that were used for sprinkling. And that's the end of what we call the first chapter. Then we go into what they call the second chapter, and you have an enumeration of who came up with them. These are the people, the Jews from Israel, who would return from the exile, and now they were returning. They were returning to Jerusalem and Judea. Everyone, each person went back to their hometown, to their city. Who came up with Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel is really the Judean prince, the Judean leader. So the enumeration in this pasuk, our sages have on tradition that these are the men of the great assembly. Meaning when our sages tell us the men of the great assembly, they quote this pasuk. Who came up with Zerubbabel? Meaning who were the leaders who would ultimately be the men of the great assembly who went up to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash? Yeshua. These are the names we know of the 120 sages of the great assembly. Yeshua. Nehemiah. Now we have to wonder if this is the same Nehemiah as the book of Nehemiah. It would seem that it is not. Yeshua. That is Yehoshua, who was the Kohen Gadol. Our first high priest, when we come back to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, is Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol, who is referenced in the Navi Zechariah. Remember, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the three final prophets, are also coming up with us here. So together with them, you have Zerubbabel, the leader, Yeshua, who is the Kohen Gadol Yoshua, Nehemiah, Seraya, Re'elaya, Mordechai, who's this Mordechai? That's our Mordechai. Bilshan, so some say that Bilshan was another person, and others say, no, his name was Mordechai Bilshan, Mordechai who was master of all languages. Mispar Bigvai Rechum Ba'ana. These are names of people. There was a man whose name was Mispar. There was a man whose name was Bigvai Rechum, and a man whose name was Ba'ana. So all these are names of people. Mispar Anshei Am Yisrael. These were the important men of the Jewish people. Yeah. So now the next psukim run through the leaders, the families who would come up into Eretz Yisrael. It's worth looking at the names because these names appear in the end of Masechet Ta'anit. When Tractate Ta'anit tells us which families were those that supported the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, what's called Zeman Atzei Kohanim, those who donated wood to allow us to bring sacrifices. Initially, we will see later on in the book, they didn't have wood. You come to Jerusalem, there aren't too many forests growing around here. So they didn't have the firewood for the altar. So they needed volunteers to donate firewood, to actually go out and harvest firewood and bring it up. Now those families who would do that would later on be honored for the next four centuries, half a millennium, that their families would celebrate the day that it was their turn to bring the wood. They divided it up to the families, and the wealthy families, the important families that we're naming now, these families took upon themselves that each one would have a block of time that they brought the wood for the Beit HaMikdash. After we became wealthy, after the Jews reestablished their hold on the land of Israel, and there was plenty of firewood in the Beit HaMikdash, the rabbi said, these families gave us coverage from this date to that date. The date at which they started giving us coverage in the Beit HaMikdash, that day will be a day of celebration for them, for the period of the second Beit HaMikdash. And these families had their personal holiday when they would all ascend to the Beit HaMikdash and bring their donation of wood and have a celebration at the Beit HaMikdash. This was a holiday like Purim. This was a holiday during the second Beit HaMikdash period, but it was a personal holiday for these families. And when the Mishnah enumerates the families, so many of the names in the Mishnah actually are names of families that we see here. As we go through, Ezra is going to give an accounting of who were these important families that ascended with the Zerubbabel out of Babylon into Israel. So he tells us the family of Parosh. That's a very funny name because Parosh is actually a bug. It's Parosh in the Talmud is a flea. They were 2,172. Shifatia were 372. Arach, 757. Pachat Moav. So our sages say Pachat Moav means the important person of Moav. But in the Talmud it says that when the Mishnah enumerates Pachat Moav, it's really talking about King David's family. It was a nickname for David HaMelech's family, the important one from Moab. So there were 2,812. Elam, 1,254. And so it goes on. The rest of the chapter runs through the names of the families, and then it goes through the names of the cities, and it tells us the enumeration. How many people were in each city? If we move on to Pasuk Mem, you guys have it? Halevi'im. It breaks down the Levites that would come up. In Pasuk Lamed Vav, it tells us HaKohanim. Until Pasuk Lamed Vav, it was people from Judea and Benjamin. And now it tells you how many Kohanim and Levim came up. So from Pasuk Lamed Vav are the families of Kohanim. From Pasuk Mem are the Levim. And it breaks them down into Hamshorarim, the singers, and Hashoarim, the gatekeepers. In Pasuk Mem Gimel, we move up to the Netinim. You guys know who the Netinim are? Netinim were... What?
Hebrew
Correct. When we entered the land of Israel, there were a tribe, a group of people from Gibeon, from the hilltop of Gibeon, who came into Israel. And they tricked Yoshua. They said, we're from a faraway country, we want to make a peace treaty with you. And when they tricked Yoshua, so Yoshua made a peace treaty with them, and then he discovered that they tricked him, so Yoshua said, this isn't going to work, you guys are not real Jews, you said you're joining us, you're not, you will be woodcutters and draw water for the Mishkan. Mordechai said, oh. So the Netinim were, it enumerates them too. They came back up to the Beit HaMikdash, and they would be troublemakers for our future as well. These people who were responsible, they were half Jews because they had converted under false pretenses, and then they were discovered to be very cruel people. And so David HaMelech banished them and gave them, they had only the position of drawing wood and bringing the wood and the water for the Beit HaMikdash. But they really get enumerated here. They get a large section. In Pasuk Nun Hey, we have something very interesting. The sons of the servants of Shlomo, meaning Shlomo had slaves that he brought in, and the Netinim together with the slaves were 392 people. Then we move forward. We run to Barzillai HaGiladi. One of King David's friends was Barzillai HaGiladi, a wealthy man. Our sages say Barzillai is described in the Torah as being so old that when David invites him to his palace, he wants to reward him for his faithfulness. He helped David when David was on the run. Barzillai says, I can't taste anything I eat anymore. I'm such an old man, I have no idea what you're giving me. So our sages say, why was Barzillai so old? Our sages said he was wealthy, so he took on many wives. He spent his life being with women. And when a person spends his strength, his energies, his time being with women, then they age more quickly and they lose their flavor, they lose their ability to enjoy all the physical amenities of life. So that's Barzillai. What's interesting here is that it says the Kohanim took from the daughters of Barzillai, and they used to take credit. We're descendants of Barzillai, even though it went through the mother. They were Kohanim. But they were Kohanim who had a special name. They were descendants of Barzillai. I guess because Barzillai was so affluent and he used his wealth to help the Davidic dynasty, so this was a big honor. So much so that the Kohanim would credit themselves as the descendants of Barzillai. And now we have an important section here. Pasuk Samach Gimel. There were Kohanim who came along. And Hatirshata, that's our sages say, is Nehemiah. He said to them, guys, you can't eat from the foods of the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Because, and there were a lot of people, meaning we're talking about for a lot of people who Nehemiah said to them, until the Mashiach comes, we're not going to be able to accept you as full-fledged Kohanim, because these people couldn't prove they were Kohanim. Every other Kohen could bring their genealogy. And the Pasuk says in Pasuk Samach Beis, this group couldn't prove they were legitimate Kohanim. So Nehemiah said, I'm sorry, you guys can't eat from the holy foods of the Beit HaMikdash. How many people ascended at this point? So the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Samach Dalid, we're talking about 42,360. That's it. How many Jews went up to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash? So out of the whole Jewish people, you have 42,360. A very small number. How many did we have at the founding of the state?
60,000.
Check. 60, check. No. Go on your Google and see how many Jews were here at the founding of the states. So you had 42,000. You had servants, 7,337. And singers, and then it gives us an enumeration of the cattle. And with that, we reach Pasuk Ayin, the Kohanim, the Levites, the nation, everyone settles in Israel. So they've ascended to Israel. And now we're up to what they call the third chapter, the first Pasuk. Yes?
And when you say 40,000 something went out, from how much?
We don't know yet. At this point, we don't know.